I say good morning to you. Welcome to 2020, to the first Sunday in the year. Can we give God another hand praise for just making us and allowing us to be here? I am excited at what God is doing here at Open Door and in our midst. And I believe that God has some great things prepared for us this year. I need you to buckle your seatbelts because I believe God is going to do and is preparing to do great and marvelous things amongst us. In fact, I believe that he is preparing us to fulfill the purpose that he ultimately placed us here for way back in 1976 when the church was founded. Let me try to explain why I believe God is doing some of these things. Early last year in 2019, the Lord came to me in my private time, and he spoke very clearly and said, I want you to prepare to make an impact in your community. I said, okay. And he said, I want you to initially focus on youth. And when I heard that, I said, youth? He said, I want you to focus on youth. Didn't say anything else about it. Didn't give me any further details. Didn't really know much more what he wanted done. I just heard, I want you to focus on youth. And so when I got the word, I immediately ran to my leaders here at the church and I said, guys, I want you to start preparing to do outreach in youth. Well, how are we going to do it or what are we going to do? I don't really know. But I just know that we need to get prepared to start doing outreach to the youth. And as we started moving, it was interesting that God began to show himself strong on the ministry. Both the youth and the children's ministry started growing. In fact, it was growing so much to where in certain occasions they couldn't fit them all back there in the classrooms. And so what happened was we started ministering, and as we started getting close to summertime, we normally have vacation Bible school here at the church, and we have programs and things for the youth over the summer. And so when we got to the summertime and we started planning for vacation Bible school, some of the leaders came up and said, well, Pastor, why don't we add on a carnival this year? Since we're focusing on youth, we're going to add on a carnival. And during this VBS this year, all we're going to do is focus on youth. Because normally during those times, we have activities for everybody, for adults, everybody. And this year, we in 2019, we said, all we're going to do is focus on youth. And so we went through the summertime, and some of you leaders were here. Many of you served in that. And we had the event, and Vacation Bible School came, and it was a blast. It was full. A lot of the children was up in here. They had a blast. And as we got to that Saturday when we were having the carnival, they had set up, and we were having the bounce houses and the trains, and they went through all the neighborhoods before and said, hey, come out. And we just knew and were expecting God to do something mighty. And when the day came, you know what happened? It rained. Listen, not only did it rain, it rained all day. It rained from the beginning of the morning, like 7, 8 o'clock, all the way pretty much throughout the program. So we're out there, and God says, we felt so much spirit say, don't stop, keep putting it up. And so we're out there putting up the tents, and it's raining. We got the bounce houses sitting out there, and there's water all up in them. You try to bounce around up in them. Water's everywhere. We're setting up the dunk booths out there. Some of y'all remember that. We got them in the dunk booths, and it's raining down, and we're just looking, and at some point, we're just saying to ourselves, we're doing all this, but I know ain't nothing really going to happen. And before you know it, in spite of all the rain, the Bible's God allowed for over 170 of the youth in this community to come to the carnival in the midst of the rain. Watch this. It was almost as if God was saying, the things that I have planned for y'all to do will not be by might. It's not going to be by your power, but it's going to be by my spirit. I'm going to do some things, and the things that I have planned for you, none of y'all going to be able to explain. It's just going to happen. Amen. Y'all remember that I came to y'all in October, and I said, you know, guys, we're behind on our budget. I said, we had set a budget for the year, and we are behind. And if we don't do something, we're not going to be able to do it. We're going to have to cut some spending. And, you know, normally here at the church, if you're new, we don't typically pester you about money. We just say, hey, seek the Lord, and whatever the Lord tells you to give, give. And that's what we said. And we got to, I announced some of this on watch night, we got to December 31st, and I got a phone call from my finance director, Linda, and she told me, Pastor, I got some pleasant news for you that you're going to be happy. Go check your email. And I went and I checked my email, and I got in there, I read the report. Not only did we end up meeting our budget for the year, but we exceeded it by $15,000. Oh, you ought to give God a better shout than that. And God says, the things that I'm going to do is not going to be my might. It's not going to be you're not going to be able to explain it. He says, just follow and be obedient. And so we started focusing on youth in 2019, and about October, my wife got invited again to come speak at an event that Bishop Jakes was holding. And she went and she spoke at the event, and, you know, Bishop Jakes has some of the most phenomenal women ever. I mean, business leaders, I mean, they all just phenomenal women doing phenomenal things. And at the end of the session, one of the speakers and my wife started talking, and then they just decided that they were going to go to lunch. And what happens is, when the husbands are with the wives, if the wives decide that they're going to lunch and you with your wife, the husbands have to end up going. Now, if some of you may not know me very intimately, but I'm introverted by nature. Regardless of what you see, it may seem like I'm extroverted, but I'm not. If it's up to me, I would prefer to be by myself. And so I don't typically like to go to that stuff. But I ended up going with her because that's my baby, and what else was I going to do? And so we went to lunch, and I'm sitting with this other man, and right from the get-go, we hit it off. We hit it off. I mean, conversation, we just started talking, and it was very easy to talk. Come to find out that this man was a pastor. Not only was he a pastor, his parents were the pastor just like me. Not only was that, he came from the corporate sector, leaving a corporate job to come over into ministry just like I did. Not only was that the case, I'm sitting here listening as we're talking. Not only was that, he inherited a church from his father's generation that had an older generation within his church, and he was facing some of the same issues and challenges that I've been facing coming into pastor, right? And so we started talking, and I'm talking to him like, so man, you know, tell me about your church and tell me what's going on. We're talking. Come to find out that his church was a little over 5,000 people. Right? You know, sometimes you never know who you're talking to. So I'm talking to him, and he says, well, yeah, my church, we're a little bit over 5,000. Now, that number 5,000 to many of you may not mean anything, but that number 5,000 jumped out to me because part of our vision is we exist to unleash a community of 5,000 disciples. Right, so I'm sitting here listening, not thinking anything more. And I say, well, tell me how did you get there? How did you get to 5,000? Watch this. And so we're sitting there talking, and he's going on. He said, well, Pastor, you know, man, I really can't tell you anything. It was just God. I mean, God was just moving amongst us, and he was going on. And I'm sitting here, and I'm like, okay, all right, so forth. And he said, well, wait a minute. As if prompted by the Holy Spirit, as if something within him just caught him and said, oh, wait. Well, there was one thing that we did. I said, well, what? He said, well, we began to focus on youth. I said, youth? Wait a minute. Hold up now. I've been dealing and hearing from God about the youth. What's going on with the youth? He said, yeah. He said, well, one of the things we started doing, he said, you know, in my area in Baltimore, Maryland, you know, our youth have a lot of problems and they got a lot of issues and different things going on. And he said, what we decided to do was we decided to focus on the needs that our youth had in our church. And he said, and we jumped from 200 to 1,000 in the first year. I said, 200? I say, well, man, that's about the number that we at right now if I can get all these jokers to come to church. he said, we jumped from 200 to 1,000 in the first year. I said, huh. He said, Pastor, you know, I don't know you. He said, but I feel in my spirit that the Lord wants me to tell you that there are needs in your community with your youth, and as you meet those needs, God is going to bless your ministry. I said, okay, all right. So we talked and we exchanged numbers and all the different things. And so I got back and I started seeking the Lord, saying, well, God, what would you have us to do? You know what I mean? And I started talking to commissioners and leaders in the area to figure out what a bunch of the issues were in our community. Come to find out that I believed where God would have us, and you're going to hear more about this, where God would have us to focus, is we have huge educational disparities with our young people. Huge. Did you know that only 27% of minority students in this community are proficient or at reading level in reading and not much better than math. And so I believe God is going to have us to do some things in there. But I started seeking God, and I said, well, God, listen to me now. Hear what I'm saying. I'm like, God, how can we make an impact with students with educational disparity? It's huge, God. This gap is huge. Like, how can we make an impact in that area? We would need more people. I mean, we're going to need more resources. You got to have more money. We're going to need teachers. I mean, we're going to need more space. How in the world can you use us to meet that area, to make an impact in that area? Listen, and God kept speaking to me one word. One word. I said, God, how are we going to do it? He said, one word. You know what it was? He said, you're going to meet it. He said, just be generous. Listen. Listen to what I'm saying. Here's the word. He said, I want you to be generous. The word was generosity. Generosity. I said, generosity? What does that have anything to do with it? He said, generosity. Watch this. He said, I want your church to become known as the most generous church in the community. Amen. Watch this. I said, generous? What are you talking? Look, I'm just telling, I'm being transparent. I'm declaring what God gave to me to give to you. He said, I want your church to become the most generous church at meeting needs in your area. Watch this. He said, and as you do that, I'm going to meet every need that you have. Amen. Watch this. He says, as you are generous to the needs that are in your community, he says, I'm going to meet every need that you have. He said, and it's going to be so good, I'm going to meet needs that you don't even know that you need. Amen. Watch this. I'm here to declare. He said, and the blessing is not just going to be on your church, but it's going to be on every individual in your church who catch it. Amen. Generosity. Listen to the promise that he gave to me. Watch this. In Proverbs chapter 22, verse 9, I want you to read this with me. Notice what it says. It says, the generous will themselves be blessed. Amen. Why? For they share their food with the... Watch this. Did you catch what he said? He says, the generous will themselves be blessed. I'm sitting there questioning God, how is this going to work for us? He said, listen, the scripture says the blessing is not on the people who the generous people give stuff to. Like, wouldn't that make sense? Like, the blessing is because I'm receiving from somebody who's generous. He said, no. He says, the generous will themselves be blessed. Do you see that? He says, they will be blessed. Watch this. He didn't say that those who are generous may be blessed. He didn't say that they possibly can be blessed. He says that the generous will themselves will be blessed. Now, what does he mean by generous? Listen, God says the blessing is going to be on those who are generous. Look at your neighbor and say, you need to be generous. Listen, catch what I'm saying. Listen, see, generosity, what does it mean to be generous? Generous means to give. It means to give bountifully. It means to give abundantly. It means to give, it says one of the definitions was to be willing to give help or support, especially more than is usual or expected. Do you hear that? He says being generous means to give more than is usual or that is expected. So he says those who are generous, those who give more than is usual or expected is going to be blessed. Blessed means to be prosperous. It means to be successful. It means to have favor placed upon you. Listen, here's what a blessing is. See, remember, see, the generosity that I'm speaking to is not just money. Hear what I'm saying? It's not about getting your money. It's in every aspect of your life. It's in your time. It's in your service. God says those who are generous in the things concerning me are going to be blessed. Watch this. The reason why some of us may not be blessed is because you're stingy. God has blessed you with so much stuff. He's hooked you up. You got all the stuff that you need, and instead of being a conduit to someone else who has a need, you've become a little, you're a little hoarder, You're a little bottleneck to where resources can't get through. And then you wonder why you're not blessed. Come on, somebody say amen. Listen, I'm trying to help you. There's a blessing on this house. I came to declare it today. There is, listen. I understand it. Everybody may not get it. I get it. Listen, you see God, but I'm just telling you what God told me. There's a blessing on this house for those who will be generous to the things that God tells you to do. See, some of you have become stingy. You go to the restaurant and you give a tip and you give $5.26 to the penny if it's 15% or whatever it is that you give. Instead of just rounding off to a dollar, you kind of stingy. Amen. 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 Went down. Some of you do that with your tithes. Well, I ain't going to get no amens on that. Amen. You tithe to the penny. $22.37. You won't even round up to the nearest dollar when it comes to the things of God. Listen, and God says you got to stop being stingy. Amen. When he blesses you, God says there is a blessing on all those to the things that I tell you to do. Learn to be generous. Amen. Watch this. Hear what I'm saying. When I started studying generosity, listen, I learned that whenever you stingy, when it comes to the things of God, whenever you're not generous, listen, you're actually acting out of character.
Amen. Come on, Pastor.
You're actually acting contrary to your nature. Listen, as believers, you are supposed to be generous because it's in your nature.
Amen.
What? Okay, let me try to break this down. Why do I say that? Because the God that you serve is generous. I didn't get an amen from everybody. I said, the God that you serve, listen, hear what I'm saying. The God that you serve is a generous God. He's a giver. He always gives more than is usual or that is expected. Okay, let me give you an example. Think of this earth that God put us on. God could have put us in a desert wasteland. But instead, he created this earth and he brought all these colors. He brought all the water. He brought all the landscapes. He brought all the flowers, thousands and thousands of different types of flowers. He has all the different species of animals and all of the different things. He has the mountains. He has the hills. He has the valleys. He did all of these different things. Watch this. Not because he had to do it, but because he's generous. Listen, God, when he created the earth, not only did he create all that stuff, but he could have just created all men. How many of you know he could have done that? Ladies should have said no amen on that one. Listen, if he wanted to, he didn't have to do it. He could have created all men. But he didn't. He created females. Why? Because he wanted us to have companionship. Right? He didn't have to do it, but he did it because he's generous. Listen, not only did God do that, but he also created sex. Wait a minute now. I would have thought at least some of the married people would have said amen. Think about this now. This hear what I'm saying. You know he didn't have to create sex at all. Right? People say, well, he did it for procreation. No, he didn't have to do procreation through that. He could have had people eat fruit and women get pregnant. He could have designed it that the man put his hand on the woman's hand like this and she got pregnant.
Amen.
But oh no, God said, oh, no. I'm going to be generous to y'all and give y'all, so I'm going to hook y'all up. I'm going to create sex.
Amen. Amen. Come on, Pastor.
And if y'all ain't going to say hallelujah, I'm going to say thank you, Jesus. De La Lahande and Condoleezza and listen, watch this. Hear what I'm saying. The God you serve is generous.
Yes, he is.
He didn't have to do that. In fact, the Bible says in 1 Timothy, notice what it says. Why did God do that? He says, command those who are rich in this present world not to be arrogant, nor put their hope in wealth, which is so uncertain, but to put their hope in God, who what? Who richly provides us with what? Did you hear that?
Yes.
It says that God created everything for your enjoyment. Not that he had to do it, but that he did it for your enjoyment. Your God that you serve is generous. Can I tell you something that's so awesome about the God that you serve? There's only, listen, when I was thinking about this, there's only one thing that God has not really given you or given you access to. The only thing, your God is so generous, the only thing that he really has not given you is the Godship. Watch this. He's so generous. He's so giving. Watch this. The only thing that God has not given you is the one thing that he can give you. And that's his position as God. Let me give you for example. For example, listen, your God is so generous, he's already given you forgiveness of all your sins. Watch this. I'm laying it down. Watch this. He's given you everything that he possibly can give you. Okay, he's forgiven you of all your sins. Colossians chapter 2, 13 and 14 says this, when you were dead in your sins and in the uncircumcision of your flesh, God made you alive with Christ. He forgave us what? Do you see that? How much is all?
Everything.
So that means all the sins that you have. Is there another one? Having canceled the charge of legal indebtedness, which stood against us and condemned us, he has taken it away, nailing it to what? Watch this. So the God that you serve is so generous, he's already forgiven you of all the nasty stuff that you've done when you come to Christ. Watch this. Not only did he give you forgiveness, he's also given you eternal life.
Praise God.
Listen, for all of eternity, those who are in Christ will be with him. Romans 6:23 says this, for the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is what? Listen, did God have to give you eternal life?
No.
Oh, no. The wages of your sin should have been death. But God was so generous, he said, I'm going to hook you up, and I'm going to give you eternal life anyway. Listen, the only thing God has kept from you is being God. Listen, not only did he give you that, he gave you authority over the angels and the demons.
Amen.
I'm just showing you, there's nothing really that he's withheld from you.
Amen.
Luke 10, 18 and 20 says this. Jesus says, I beheld Satan fall as lightning from heaven. Behold, I give you power to tread upon serpents and scorpions and what? Over all the power of the enemy. Listen, you have authority over all the angels and the demons. Listen, subject to his authority. You have been given authority over angels and demons as long as you're subject to his. So in other words, that don't mean you could go to the devil and tell the devil to get down and worship you. Listen, you can't do that unless his authority empowers you to do that. You know, you have people nowadays say, I'm going to the devil. I'm going to take the chain off his neck. I'm going to put my foot in his throat. I'm going to kick him in the butt, and I'm going to do all this. How many know that ain't nothing but foolishness? If you saw the devil, the first thing you're going to do is. It's sort of like that boy who was in high school, and he used to sell out all the time, talking about, man, I'm going to bust you in your face. I'll beat up all you boys. I'm going to do all this and all that. As long as he got John and a few of the other big boys behind him, then he talking. But how many know if you ain't got the backing behind you, you're going to look and be like, the authority, God has given us all authority over spirit beings subject to his authority. The only thing he hasn't given you is the Godship. Listen, not only did he give you authority, he also made you sons. Listen, look at 1 John 3, 1 and 2. He says, behold, what manner of love the Father has bestowed on us. What? That we should be called. Therefore, the world does not know us because it did not know him. Beloved, now are we children of God. Listen, the God that you serve is so generous, he didn't just save you and make you a helping hand in his garden. He just didn't make you a slave in the kitchen. He actually made you a child, a son. Why? Not because he had to. Surely not because you deserved it. But amen, that went down. Surely it's not because you was living so right. But he gave it to you because he's generous. There is nothing that God has not given to you except for the Godship. In fact, let me just say with this last verse. Ephesians chapter 1 verse 3 says this. Read this with me. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus, who has, not will, he has blessed us with what? Wait a minute now. I don't know if you got, if you caught that. It says he has already blessed you with what? Every spiritual blessing. How much is every? Did you catch that? That means if there is a spiritual blessing on the spiritual side, you've been given it. Amen. So the only thing that God has not given you is the Godship, right? He remains in control. Everybody answers up to him, but he's been so generous in giving you everything, right? Generosity is in the nature of God. It's in his spiritual DNA. Can I say it that way? Now watch this. If generosity is in the spiritual DNA of God, and you are God's son, then what should that say about you? Wait a minute now. This is my father right here with all the hair and all that. I'm his son. How many of you know that I have some of his physical DNA? It doesn't matter what I do. I'm going to have some traits of him. Whatever that DNA is in there, looks, facial features, health things, whatever it is, what's in him is in me. Amen. Right? So if you and I are children of God and we're spiritually connected, then what's in God should be in us. Amen. Would you agree? So that means if God, if generosity is in the nature of God and you and I are children of God, then generosity should be in you. Amen. That means anytime that you're walking around acting stingy, you're actually walking around acting contrary to the nature that God put in you. Amen. Watch this. That's why the Bible tells us that you and I are supposed to imitate the God that we serve. Go to the scripture. The Bible says in Ephesians 5 and 1, it says, therefore what? Be imitators of God because you are his what? So God says, the Bible says, because God is generous, we're supposed to be imitating him. So if God naturally gives more than is usual or expected, that's the same thing that we as his children should be doing. Do you hear what I'm saying? Listen, in fact, listen, the Bible commands us that we are to be generous. What does it say there in 1 Timothy 6 and 18? He says, tell them. Somebody say, tell them. What am I doing? Okay, the Bible says, tell them to use their money to do good. It says they should be rich in good works and what? What does generous mean? It means giving bountifully, abundantly, not stingily. It means generosity, giving them generously to those who are in need, always being ready to share with others. Listen. The God that we serve is generous, then you and I are to be generous. Watch this. Now let me start wrapping up with this. I'm way ahead of time. Y'all ought to say amen, praise God. I'm almost about ready to close. Praise God. Now watch this. Listen, why is it so important? Listen, here's where the blessing is. Why is it so important that God wants us to be generous? Listen, because God knows that there are principles tied to generosity. Listen, in fact, listen, to the extent that you are, now let me say this. I assume that you understand the elementary principles of being a Christian. In other words, you can give all you want, but if you're living a life contrary to the word of God, you're not going to be blessed. Amen. right? So this, I just felt that to say that on record, that I'm not saying that if you just give to people and do things that God tells you to do, that you automatically going to be blessed, even though you know you live in a mess. That's not what I'm saying. But what I'm saying is, when you're living right, some of us are living right and trying to do blessing and do what God tells you to do, and you're still not receiving the blessing. Listen, God says, be generous. There are principles tied to generosity. Why? To the extent that you are generous is to the extent that God will bless you.
Amen. Come on, Pastor.
Let me give you the principle. Most of you are already familiar with it. Luke 6:38. Notice what it says. It says, give and what? Do you see that? Wait a minute. Don't miss it. It says, as you give, you will. If you don't give, you won't receive. Watch it. To the extent that you give is also to the extent that you receive. Do you hear what it's saying? It says, when you give, that's how you receive. If you generously give, that's how you generously receive. Notice it doesn't say just money. It's not just money. It's in every aspect of life, right? When you give your time to serve God, you receive it back. Watch this. See, it always annoys me when people get upset when something happens to them and nobody calls them. Okay, let me break that down. Okay, so somebody is sick and they don't come to church, and they get real upset because nobody from the church called them to check on them. Right? The question is, have you ever called somebody when they were sick? Because when you give, it comes. And the problem with it is some of us ain't giving no giving, but you always expecting something to come. See, it's just a natural principle. That makes common sense. If you give somebody some money when they in need, then chances are when you are in need, what? It comes. Come on, somebody. It ain't deep. If somebody's in the hospital and you take your time to go visit them, chances are when you get in the hospital, somebody probably gonna come visit you. Right? As you give, it comes back. Right? The problem with some of us is that we're always expecting to receive, but you're never giving. And God promised me this. Listen, he says, as you generously give to people who I lead you to give to, I am going to supernaturally, divinely meet every need that you have. Watch this. And he says, see, this is where the title came, radically generous. Because, see, we're not planning to just give. We want to radically give. Why? Because we also want to radically. Anybody need a radical blessing? Anybody need radical favor in your life? Listen, the Bible says, as you give, you shall receive. Go to the next verse, Mike, Proverbs 11:24. I'm getting ready to close. Notice what it says. One person gives freely, yet gains more. Another withholds unduly, but comes to poverty. Listen, a generous person will prosper. Do you see that? He didn't say you might, you can't. He says those who are generous will prosper, will be successful, will be blessed. He says why? Because whoever refreshes someone else will themselves be what? See, and God says that as we sow into those around us, God is going to refresh us with the things that we need. That gets back to Luke 6:38. He says, give and it shall be given unto you good measure, pressed down, shaken together, and running over shall men give to your bosom. Watch this. Some of you, God is going to bless you so much, what you give is going to be so much more for you, it's going to run over to your children. And it's going to run over and touch everything that you have. What you've been waiting on is here, baby. You just got to jump on the train. And when God says give, give, you jump on the train and do it. Amen, somebody. Listen, and I got to close with this. This is the last thing I'm going to tell you. God gave me a warning. Listen, he says, when you're generous and you give to certain people, he said, listen, they're going to be, listen, and this goes for some of the church leaders, whoever the church leader, listen, he says, sometimes I'm going to ask you to do something and it's not going to make sense to do it. So don't worry. He says, sometimes I'm going to ask you to give to people and to give to things, and it's not going to make any sense why you're doing it. And he says, there are going to be people that I ask you to give to. And this could be someone driving down the road. I don't know who this is, but listen to what I'm saying. God says, I'm going to ask you to give to some people, and they're not going to be able to give you anything in return. Listen, he says, and even when that happens, you still need to be generous. In other words, he's saying, don't look for them to give you anything. Look to me to give it to you. Watch this. Proverbs 19:7, listen what he said. He says, whoever is kind to the poor or those who have a need, they lend to the Lord. Remember this. See, sometimes you'd be like, why am I giving all my stuff away? I don't get anything from it. God says, no, you're missing it. He says, when you, listen, the Lord will prompt you what to do. Do you understand? You don't got to rely upon what everybody else say. God will tug on you and say, do this, do that. You're driving down the street, give him $20. God, man, that's my last $20. God, I don't want to do all that. You listen to God. He will prompt you what to do. And he says, when you give to them, he says, you are lending to me. That's why you need to be obedient. And he says, when you lend to me, he says, and he will reward them or reward you for what you have done. You understand? So generosity is a lifestyle. It's not just something you do here at church. It encompasses everything about you. When God impresses you to do something, it may be your brother, your cousin, whoever it is, it may make no sense to do it. When God says give, just be obedient and do whatever God tells you to do. Do you understand? When God says serve, get your butt out that seat and get on it and then out the thing and say, well, I don't even know what it is that God want me to do, but I'm just going to be obedient. Give up days of your life and friendly and the boldness and bold and the beautiful. That's what it is, the bold and the beautiful. Give up that time. Listen, I'm telling you, there's a blessing on this house. I'm telling you, everything that God gave me, there is a blessing on this house. Listen, and whenever God prompts you, don't be stingy. Okay, if you would have normally give five, ask God what it is to give to you. But, you know, my wife and I, we try to be generous. If we in there, tippers love us. Not tippers, waiters, servers, they love us. You know why? Because when we come in, that's, you know, people, that's how they make their money, right? And you just be a blessing, okay? When God tells you to serve, stop whining about those 30 minutes. Some of y'all come to a meeting and be like, I'm giving you 30 minutes and that's all, I'm out. But you go to the game, the gator game, and amen, that went down. You out there fixing your truck or putting on new rims and you playing the PlayStation 4 and you out there playing basketball and you ain't said nothing. But when it comes to God, 30 minutes and I'm out this thing. Listen, be generous in whatever God leads you to do for him, and he's going to bless you. Amen. Let's bow our heads. Father, in the name of Jesus, thank you for this word.